I'm 6'5". No, I'm just kidding. I have no legs, one arm, one finger. Super handsome. That's me if you're just listening. When I was 18, I made the decision to create a Vine where you can post 6-second videos. And I was like, okay, I want to become the category king of something where no one can replicate or compete against me. And I didn't see many guys with no limbs running around Walmart pretending to be a zombie. I'm to the point because I've had personal development videos go viral and then get me getting destroyed in comments. I'm like, that's cool. And I've also had like funny videos that went super viral, me getting destroyed in comments. I'm like, I'm just gonna fall in love with all of it.
Yeah, everything
that you hate on, I'm gonna use it as content. So like, give me ammunition and I'm gonna fire right back. If I could go back, I would sit down with my 13-year-old self and say, buddy, it's gonna be really difficult. Like, you're gonna have ups, you're gonna have downs, you're gonna be rejected, you're gonna fail, businesses are gonna crash, but you're gonna save a lot of lives and it's gonna be so worth it. And if I could tell myself that at 13, I probably would have been successful faster. I think in 10 years, maybe I'll find myself. I think I've lost myself through entrepreneurship and business, okay, like trying to be someone else or like attaching my identity to specific things. But now I have the credibility and I have the strategies and the track record for being a speaker and being serious. But like, bro, I'm an entertainer. I just started making funny videos again. And I 45 million views on YouTube this month, 120,000 subscribers I gained this month.
One video went viral, right?
And so in 10 years, Nick's going to be like everything.
My name's Rudy Moore, host of Living the Red Life podcast, and I'm here to change the way you see your life in your earpiece every single week. If you're ready to start living the red life, ditch the blue pill, take the red pill, join me in Wonderland and change your life.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Living the Red Life. I've got my good friend Nick in here today, and he is going to talk to you about motivation. Not that kind of motivation, but real motivation. Nick, welcome. Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for coming in. So look, I know we're going to talk about your past and your background and how we met and what you're doing now, but you know, you're not just this motivational guy on TikTok or YouTube. You know, you're traveling around the world, keynote speaker, hanging out with Tony, talking on all of his stages. I see you in China, the next day another big event, the next day another big event, and now you're helping other people pursue that dream of speaking and impacting from stages. And obviously you just came to my event and spoke, and you know, whether it's 100 people in a room or 10,000 people in a room, you captivate them. So it's great for you to be here.
I appreciate you, bro. Yeah, and it's I just want to give you your flowers again, because we met 7 years ago. I was a little baby in entrepreneurship, and I think you were just getting started with the different businesses, and to see what we both accomplished, but what you've accomplished and what you've built, I just want to acknowledge you.
Thank you.
Because it's been incredible to watch your journey. So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Good. Well, let's teleport back. I mean, we met in Tampa. I had a fitness business just starting to take off. You know, I think I was doing around $1 million or close. Yeah, I think I was doing $1 million at that point. And I had this goal of building this big empire, and you had this goal of speaking on Tony's stage and becoming this big motivational speaker. And I think, what, 8 years later, we've done it. You know, we've still got a long way to go, and we have way bigger goals now. But it's really cool that we were able to, you know, hit those first kind of goals. So let's talk about it. How did you end up doing all of this stuff?
Yeah, well, when we first met, we were just getting started, you know, with our business partner, a friend in the back, and everything was new. And basically, I quit my job at the customer service job that you know that I had, and I moved into Ravi's house on the couch, and I was like, hey, we're going to build this business. And from there, you know, I'm a big believer that this is an information game, right? If we're seeing people that's doing something at a superior level, it's like, the question's not like, are they better than me? The question is, what have they learned or have access to that I haven't got access to, right? So it was a game of information, learning the business model, and then we built an unsustainable business model. Right, I think a lot of times when you're first starting a business or a new offer or whatever, maybe you forget about the sustainability or the scalability of the business model they offer. And so initially, I was just a motivational speaker. And the pigeonhole or the trap that we fell into was I was still trading time for money.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any offers or anything to give people in the back end, right? So I would show up, people would love it, and then they'd be like, can I work with you? I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I had no idea. And long story short, when we moved to Vegas to take over Vegas, COVID hit and destroyed that business, forced us to become marketers. Look at it now.
It's kind of funny because, you know, COVID impacted a lot of businesses and people, right? And for me, I was traveling the world at that point for 2 years, growing my agency. And most of my agency clients came from me speaking at events, going to masterminds and parties and stuff and networking. So it just completely stopped the growth of my agency. I didn't have an acquisition channel online. And the same for you, right? But then we both kind of pivoted and, you know, figured things out. And in some ways it pushed us to adapt. And for me, I've created something way bigger than what I had before COVID. So I'm very grateful for that. And I know you have too. So maybe, you know, that's something we can talk about later, is overcoming adversity and challenges, and where that, you know, it might not seem possible and hard. And I think that's the story of your life, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is the brain's always looking for evidence, right? Like when the was a 5-minute mile was ran and everybody did it, right? It was like a proof of concept, right? And so we're in business, we're always just looking for proof of concept, especially as marketers. Like we're looking for the first opt-in or the first person to say yes or the first person to buy the product. And you're like, yo, if I can sell it once, I can sell it over and over again.
10 times, now 100, now 1,000, yeah.
And so I think the big thing when overcoming adversity is like the brain wants to take you to all the evidence that you can't do it, and wants to take you to all the evidence that it's not going to work. Or before we even start it, we're already creating an undesirable outcome in our head that stops us from taking action anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I actually do the opposite, probably why I'm successful, right? But so you think that's a gift that entrepreneurs have, or do you think it's that I've trained my brain and my upbringing got me to that point?
So whether it was your upbringing or not, you definitely trained yourself, or you got trained at an earlier age. So there's hope for all of you if your brain's not programmed that way. But I think it's catching yourself, because we all have patterns. So it's catching yourself like, oh, I'm already shooting myself in the foot, or I'm already believing it's not going to work. And then in that moment, shifting and be like, what are all the reasons why it would work? Because the truth is, bro, like when COVID hit, we were scared of digital marketing. We were scared of offers and funnels. And like, we were like, absolutely not. And we literally had to like write out all the reasons why it would be beneficial. We had to rewrite the story and all the reasons why it would lead to a greater life, greater fulfillment, even more scalability. So we had to like get so much leverage.
Oh, for yourselves. You're like, oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Scared, right?
Yeah.
It's a big
move. But that's great, because it shows that you guys did that and now you're like better off for it, right? And speaking's re-resumed now. So it's like now you got two, you know, killer acquisition channels or business models within one. So, but I think that's important for people to hear, because, you know, like often people listening go, oh, you just got lucky, or you were born this way, or and I think I'm pretty resilient and stuff, but they don't see what goes on behind the scenes to get to the success, right? So even for you pivoting, and I'm sure most people thought it was normal that you were launching courses and programs and doing the Instagram, hey, DM me if you want to join this. But to you, it was like figuring it out as you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was a whole different world. And like, then you start battling like self-worth. I'm like, what do I charge? Will people ever pay for that? And like that as well, for people that are listening, is like when you up your price or the investment of your offer and you get that one yes, it changed your whole paradigm, bro.
Yeah. I started my first fitness. You know, I started as a personal trainer. I worked in a gym for $8 an hour. And then I think my personal training sessions, we were allowed to charge $30, which was crazy money as a 19-year-old, right? $30 an hour. It's like a whole day's salary almost. And that was like, blows your mind, right? And then you sell packages for like, oh, you can get 10 sessions for $200 and you get $200 off someone. It's like, wow, that's a week of wages I just got in a second. And you know, now we do 100K, you know, clients, right? And we sell a lot of those. So I think I'm sure it's the same for you. Like everyone, you start somewhere, and really you just have to figure out that middle step, which is part belief and then part logistics of what am I going to sell? How am I going to position myself? But everyone, you know, can be increasing prices, right?
100%. And because it's scary, like you should.
Yeah.
Right. It's like there's nothing better than overcoming the fear of like, $50,000, you know, it's $100,000, and like exercising that rep. And then also like when you're a well, right? Like I would consider both of us a well, right? We dedicated our lives to our craft.
Yeah.
And so now we have the knowledge to condense time, and people may raise feet. So like my biggest breakthrough, one of the biggest breakthroughs in marketing in this world that we live in, is over delivering isn't more information. It's jamming.
Yes. And I think also like there's always a new level, right? Like, so I've earned 100K on stage. You've earned probably way more than me, but like, I'm sure Tony's earned more than you, right?
Yeah.
And like, I was speaking to one of the sharks from Shark Tank the other day, and I have this 100K offer for a year. And then they were telling me they have 100K a month offer for consulting. I'm like, fuck. You know, like,
yeah.
So when you get to this high level, then there's still another level above that. But I think part of it is just actually being around those people, right? Like I'm sure being around Tony and all these people helped you kind of build that, you know, confidence, I guess. And like also seeing is believing, like the 4-minute mile, right?
100%. And you start to adopt their standards, right? So even being around you and like seeing the environment and the culture that you build, it's like I start thinking of like, oh, we can take this to the next level. Or like people are like, how are you so good at speaking? It's like, well, my standard is Tony.
Yeah.
And so I think also is like your identity and who you are is directly correlated to who you surround yourself with and who you compare it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like I got passionate about opening an office because I went to, I can't remember where I went to, but I opened an office because of it. And then I went to Grant Cardone's office for a private event, and his was like, 20,000 square foot or whatever. And mine was like 4 or 5. So I'm like, okay, I got to go bigger, right? And now we have an office in London and 2 in Florida, and they're like 12,000 now combined. And people walk in and they're like, holy cow, this is crazy. But what's weird in my head is I'm like so underimpressed because my goal's so up here, right? I'm like, no, this is small. You wait, like in 4 years, I'll own the building. Then you can come in and say, wow, this is crazy. And I think that's so important too, right? Like most people see you, speaking in China and then on Tony's stage and they're like, dude, you've made it. Whereas I'm sure in your head, you're like, no, I'm going to one day be Tony, right? Or something like that.
100%. I feel like 7 years in business and I'm like, I think I understand what I'm doing. You know, like it takes a long time, but I definitely agree. 7 years in and I'm like, I think I'm just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, there's always a next level. But I think as well, our definition of success changes,
yeah,
right? So I think you could read like earlier on, like maybe our definition of success, like, oh, a million,
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then it shifts.
Yeah.
And so for me right now is like our new compelling vision is like cracking virtual, serving people from virtual. I don't need stages. So now I can cherry pick and I have the leverage and I can live in multiple countries all around the world and do my calls and serve my people.
I mean, talking of virtual, like, I didn't do many webinars and stuff. And when I did, I would just do a few hundred people on them. And, then eventually I actually did like 100K from a webinar. And we hosted 2 big ones the last 2 months, and we had 50,000 people register, and we had like 10,000 live, and it was, I had affiliates and stuff and partners on it, but like, it just, like, I remember when I used to see Tony and Grant Cardone and Pete Vargas and all that hosting these, but I'm just like, I just don't know how I could ever get like 50,000 people registered. So again, it's like, you got to reset the goals. And if you want to be like ultra successful, you almost have to reset the goals and keep pushing yourself.
100%. And I think, there's two types of people. One sits around and the other one keeps pivoting. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, like during COVID, they sat around and then we were like, yo, we got to figure out what we're doing.
Yeah.
Looked at the other experts. I've modeled all their pivots and what they were doing because they have more marketing budgets and they're already testing things. But the same thing, bro, like virtual events are a gift. I think immersion causes conversion. So the more time people spend with you. We did one, it was organic. There was 100 people on Zoom. We generated 180,000. I was in my office.
Crazy,
like,
yeah.
I could have been in my underwear. Yeah.
Crazy, right? Crazy. So what? Let me ask you this. So everyone sees you now successful, but in your head, what in 10 years, who will you be?
It's a great question. I think in 10 years, maybe I'll find myself. I think I've lost myself through entrepreneurship and business, like trying to be someone else or like catching my identity to specific things. But I'm coming back to home of like, now I have the credibility and I have the strategies and the track record for being a speaker and being serious. But like, bro, I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
So like, I'm a funny dude. And so, for example, like I just started making funny videos again.
Nice.
And I 45 million views on YouTube this month, 120,000 subscribers I gained this month.
What?
One video went viral, right? And so in 10 years, Nick's going to be like everything. Like I feel like not only speaking and serving, but there'll probably be a comedy tour. There'll probably be a massive show and a podcast. There might be a documentary, like anything and everything, making music. Like, like my business and the people that I serve and the clients that we change their lives allows me to play my inner child and all the things that I want to do.
Yeah, and most of those you probably can do in 2 or 3 years. I actually had this same vision about 2 years ago. I'm like, I see where the marketing world is and I don't want to be in this in 10 years. Like, I don't want that to be my legacy. So I went more mainstream and I set this vision to get into TV and become a celebrity. And I'm not like, you grew up at least entertaining and going viral. I did not, right? I was this quiet kid from England. So the idea of me being this celebrity is kind of weird, not now, but it was. And I mean, last year I shot my first major TV show that comes out on Amazon in June. or July, so in a couple of months. And we just reshot a show. We just shot a new show last week, which will be on a major platform at the end of this year. Our podcast is Top 10 in Entrepreneurship. And I think that just shows, like, it takes a special person to have the goal so big to even attempt it, like me and you. But that's 90% of the battle. And that's the reason we actually do it, is because everyone else isn't even entering that race. They get comfortable in that, oh, I became a millionaire, and then they stop, right? And then there's a few that gravitate beyond that, Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, Tony Robbins of our industry. And honestly, they're very gifted, but I think half of it is it's easier at the top because everyone wants to be a millionaire, but then very few people set the goal of becoming Tony or Grant. Yeah. So the few crazy ones that believe in it and actually do, they become the next Tony or Grants or Gary. So I'm excited to see this come to life for you. And yeah. And honestly, for me now, like, filming this TV show is one of the most fun things I've ever done. Like, I love it, and you'll probably feel the same, right? Doing this, it's like...
It's a part of us that makes us alive. It's a different thing. It's new, right? When, like, you and I are new to something, we want to learn it, obsess, and be the best at it,
yeah.
Right? And so that's just our style. So yeah, I think it's just another way to serve people. And I think as well, right? Like, I have so much serious content and very valuable content, but I was like, what if I meet the majority of the world at their consciousness level? And it was just funny, it was light, and then it'd get a bunch of eyeballs, and then there'll always be the conversion rate, a small percentage, of course, that will go, yeah, and trickle into raving fans.
Yeah, I mean, every successful person I study, they have that mass appeal, right? Like, Grant hangs out with all these rappers and celebs, and, you know, and even Trump's a good example. I'm not into politics, but he makes it very simple. Make America great again. Like I always teach, his communication style is very simple for the third grade level, and people, every single person on the planet loves to laugh. So you can't go wrong. If you can make people laugh and then you can inspire people, it's like two bodily human needs that every single person on the planet needs. They need food, water, and entertainment, right?
100%. So, and I think a breakthrough that I had recently when I studied, like, because I study, like, Twitch streamers and printing money. I'm looking at their chat and their fan base. I'm like, yo, these people are, like, the chat's toxic. Like, there's more hate.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
these
yeah.
people are paying them as well.
Dude,
right?
It's so wild,
like,
right?
So, yeah, like, yeah. I'm to the point because I've had personal development videos go viral and then get me getting destroyed in comments. I'm like, that's cool. And I've also had, like, funny videos that went super viral, me getting destroyed in comments. I'm like, I'm just going to fall in love with all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything
that
you hate on, I'm going to use it as content. So, like, give me ammunition and I'm going to fire right back and I'm gonna keep trolling. You know, like, I think I'm, like, ultimately, like, a troll. I was a troll doing the zombie stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I became really serious, and now I'm just finding myself again.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I mean, talking to the zombie stuff, if people don't know you as well as I do, talk about your childhood and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, first, I was born like this, so maybe your brain was like, what happened to this guy?
And if they're listening, not watching.
Yeah, I'm born like this. I'm 6'5". No, I'm just kidding. I have no legs, one arm, one finger, super handsome. That's me if you're just listening. And so when I was 18, I made the decision to create a Vine where you can post 6-second videos. And I was like, okay, I want to become the category king of something where no one can replicate or compete against me. And I didn't see many guys with no limbs running around Walmart pretending to be a zombie. So I did the zombie pranks and went super viral.
And this was when, like, Walking Dead was big.
Right? Walking Dead paid me. They hired me to do a prank. But, like, literally, I have a screenshot in one of my phones of Logan Paul messaging me saying, like, yo, me and you are the top followed Biners today. Like, congratulations. Never heard from you again. Maybe we'll collab.
One day.
But, like, that's how I got started, was, like, pranking. And then when I did bodybuilding, we connected in the bodybuilding world as well. And then when I became a speaker, like, I killed that part of me. I was like, I need to become super tactical, super serious.
I need
to prove myself. Now I've got the track record, so I'm coming back home to Nick.
Well, I think it's funny because, yeah, when you start getting into it, you have to be more professional, get respect. And then, like, now I'm in this big red fluffy coat, slides and shorts in Florida, and you're going back to your old self. And, I just literally got, when you walked in the office, I was on a call with, like, a more of a private equity, old school, $300 million investment kind of guy, right? And it's like, part of me, as I was getting on that call, I realized I was in my big red fluffy coat, red hair, and then, you know, he's suited and tied up in a big office with bookcase behind him. I'm like, it's just the world we live in now. Like, it's almost, people get it, because we live in a world of influencers and people like Logan Paul, right, doing those crazy things. So I would love to just, you know, as we come to the end today, talk about, you know, what you're doing more on the speaking side, the coaching side, how you're helping people, what, you know, if people want more of Nick, where do they find Nick and what do you do?
For sure. I'm just a big believer that speaking is like music, and it's opinionated, meaning there's people that hate us and there's people that love us. But if you're just your authentic self, your clients will find you. And so every time that we don't share our story, someone out there is suffering because they haven't met us yet.
Yeah.
Right? And so my whole intention with our students is like to share your story, monetize your expertise in an irresistible offer, and then use in-person or virtual stages to speak to one-to-many, and then have your people come find you. Right? I think oftentimes people are trying to find people to sell them something versus getting in front of people who already want what you have.
Yeah.
And so if we can find the right stages and get in front of people who want what they have, then you can coach people, you can serve people. So that's what I want to help people do. You're most qualified to teach your younger self. Everybody's walked the path. Now turn around and give it to the world.
Yeah.
Right? And you can find me at Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, no legs, one arm tattoos. You can't miss me. Yeah. Nick Santo, because my name's long, and they can find me anywhere.
Okay. Good. I love it. What's, I like to ask this question. If you could go back 10 years and give a couple of pieces of advice, what would it be?
If I could go back, I would sit down with my 13-year-old self and say, buddy, it's going to be really difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, you're going to be rejected, you're going to fail, businesses are going to crash, but you're going to save a lot of lives, and it's going to be so worth it. And if I could tell myself that at 13, I probably would have been successful faster.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And what's next over the next year or two? We talked about the 10-year goal, but how do you see the next year?
Yeah, interesting, at a different season of my life. And so right now I'm kind of minimalizing or taking away. So selling the Florida house, gonna get a nice smaller place in Miami, and then we're gonna live in Colombia, and then we're gonna work from there. I'm headed out to Dubai. Who knows, may stay in Dubai, but I wanna take this season of my life to really master the marketing and the virtual side of the business, and immersed in all different cultures where I'm not tied to anything. I don't got a girl, I'm not married, don't have a dog, let me just leverage this season.
It's a great time to do it, right? So yeah, I love that. We travel, as you know, I mean, I traveled for 2 years before COVID, and it's harder to do when you have dogs and obviously kids, but it was great. It was a great experience.
Yeah. So, just running around town.
Love it. Cool. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're going to keep inspiring millions. So thank you for inspiring my audience. And guys, I hope you had a great session. We'll see you guys very soon. Take care.